let's have a word of prayer. And then maybe we'll sing a song.
Well, if you would please go and pray for us.
Dear Father, thank you this night, Lord. Thank you for bringing us all together tonight, Lord. Safety and security, Lord. This is assurance to thee, Lord, in prayers, Lord, supplications, Lord, praise, Lord, especially praise, Lord, the great and holy name. And may your standard be set upon the earth, that people may see it, Lord, and praise the great and holy name and the works and abundance of you saved our soul through Jesus Christ our Lord. Your family's abroad, your family keep them safe, Lord, with unsafe family members or unsafe friends or unsafe colleagues, Lord. You may use us and also other means to go out and touch them, Lord, convict them of their sin, Lord, and of their destination, which in most cases will be hell, Lord, in all cases will be hell, without belief and the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. With us as Mark comes to deliver the gospel, Lord, give touch the Spirit, Lord. And Lord, may it be a blessing both to us and the congregation, also to those that are listening to it in CD or on the internet as well, Lord. And save souls mightily and powerfully throughout this world, Lord, where thy word speaks truthfully and honestly and according to thy will and according to thy purpose, Lord. The souls be mightily saved and in the last book of life, even tonight, Lord. And Lord, give us to start a new week, and Lord, may our week be spent holy in thee, Lord. And holy according to thy will, for thy honour, for thy glory,
and Jesus Christ, amen. 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 Let's begin with 327. 327 in the big books. It's a good old hymn. Let's start on higher ground. The best place to start. Number 45 in the big books. Number 45 in the big books, when I can read my title, when did we start singing that one? Is that one of your things or one of the men's things?
Bible study. Well, I picked it up and then learned it.
I can read my title on here.
Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for every age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls, playing the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvellous in the eyes of the remnant of the people in these days, should also be marvellous in my eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, that I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, that your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in, because of the affliction, for I set all men, every one against his neighbour. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people, as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their dew, and it will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your father provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repent not. So again have I thought in these days to do well in Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbour. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and acknowledge your majesty evil in your hearts against his neighbour, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass, and there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to the Lord, saying, this goes speedily to pray to the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts, I will go also. Yea, may people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray to the Lord. Thus said the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations. Everyone shall take hold of the spirit of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Amen.
Good verses full of prophecy there, Zechariah 12, worth a read. Especially Zechariah 12. Jeremiah 31 speak about the reconstitution of Israel and the way in which it's treated. What does it say? I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people around and about. And I think that's the Lord's talking about that, and talking about his return and ruling from Jerusalem, and everybody being good to the Jews instead of everybody being bad. So thank you for that, Will. Just want to remind everybody about the prayer lists. Does anybody have anything we need to add that we didn't mention this morning? Link, we asked about private prayer requests. Link, do you still have some? Yes. Do you have anything you'd like to add to that? Not to your private prayer request. Do you have any other prayer requests? Right details, sign. That's okay. Grandja. Have a word of prayer then, and we'll go on and we'll sing another song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. I pray you, Lord, that you would look into each one of our hearts and minds this evening. And Father, that you would work there, that you would make us more the way you want us to be, Father. I pray for those that aren't here at this time, and I pray especially for Pat and Steve, because I know they wouldn't be here if they couldn't be here. And for all those that have been and gone, Lord, that a part of me would love for them to have gone on to better things, but Father, it's very sad and that they haven't. I just pray you please, Lord, that even now that you would restore the backslider and the compromiser, not just here, Lord, but right the way around the world. That you would save lost souls, Father, that you would speak to hearts and minds of lost souls through your children. Give them another chance, I pray. Pray you too for our country, And we certainly do need you, Lord. It's like we're running around as a country with our, like a chicken with its head cut off. But I pray you too the same for America, especially as they come up for this midterm election on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. But you know what that country really, really needs. I pray that you would supply their need, that you would hinder not just them, but hinder the work of the devil anywhere he sticks up his head, Lord. I know it's a bit like whack-a-mole and it's a never-ending thing, but I pray you, please, that you would stop evil people even in these last of the last days. We thank you for your many promises and for watching over us and keeping us. I pray that you would be, that you would keep us company this evening, that you would edify our, your children, our brothers and sisters, wherever the word is open in the full counsel of it, please. Pray especially for Ed and Joan Bishop, for Stan, for the Asquiths and Haynes at this time, for the people that they minister to day by day. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Black Creek and Grace Bible, Lord, for Phil Celia as well. There's so much need, Lord, for Glenn Wilkinson, for Johnny Campbell, or especially for that church that was brave enough to stand up and to be counted on the Gay Pride Day. Lord, please save souls. Please use us, Lord. Please don't be done with us. Please touch bodies and hearts and minds and prepare us, Lord, day by day to face the next. We just love you and thank you. We pray this and, of course, for a private prayer request. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen. Nice. Let's sing another song. Let's turn to the wee black books this time and turn to hymn number 31. Number 31 is The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. And number 31. We'll remain seated as we sing.
Thank you.
had a request for 283. Is that another one I picked, another net? What do you think to pray? 361. 361. Chapter 17, there you go. I hope I didn't have you turn and throw them back through the book of Proverbs, back and forth. And we had a good time at the Crescent Link this afternoon. There was one man come up and asked for a Bible, and we duly gave him a Bible. And he spoke for a minute or two, and he asked if we would be here next week. So, Lord willing, weather permitting, Lord permitting, we'll be back next week. You never know, we might even see him. We also had one man that whenever we said we were closing up, he shouted out at the top of his lungs, "Thank God." And just as even as we said that, I said in the microphone, "However, it sounds like there might be somebody that needs to hear the gospel again." So I turned the megaphone towards him and went on preaching for another half a minute. But pray for that guy too. The Lord knows who those people are. The Lord knows all of our needs. Please do pray for people. Amen. Proverbs 17. And I want to thank the Lord for keeping the weather off of us and keeping us dry and even a wee taste of sunshine. Amen. Better is a dry morsel with quietness thereof than with an... Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. A refining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth heed to a naughty tongue. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. The gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. And we'll stop there. Proverbs 17, verse 3. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we will continue on. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word, for this little time set aside from the world, the flesh and the devil, just to spend it with you. Pray, O Lord, covet your presence and your instruction. And I pray that you would be here with us, Lord. You would make good on your promise that wherever two or three are gathered together in your will, that you would be amongst us. Bless us now, Lord, and the time around you, Lord. And use it to prepare us and sharpen us, Lord, for the week to come. Please touch bodies and minds. Please cleanse and refresh and heal and forgive. But most importantly, Lord, we pray for your will, people. Love you and thank you, Father. Amen. All right. As you all know, the Proverbs were the wisdom of God given to Solomon and recorded for us. And it is full of common sense, it's full of commentary upon human nature. And it has also got some godly wisdom, much godly wisdom in there as well. This verse in particular grabbed my attention as I was reading through this portion of Proverbs. So I sat down and gave it a little bit of thought. Verse number 3, where it says, "The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts." I wanted to spend a little bit of time in this, and haven't got a title as such. Proverbs 17 and 3 is nearly all the title that you need, but you can even call it like silver and gold, or refining stones, whatever. Whatever works for you and helps to frame the narrative, I think the so-called Democrats would say in America. A number of times in the Bible, the Lord refers to our souls as precious and mentions the refining of our souls in a manner, using a parable similar to the refining of silver and gold. It mentions something to the effect of refining silver or gold, I think it's 7 times, heated 7 times in the furnace. And as I was reading this, I got to thinking about all the things that a lump of metal or even a lump of ore has to go through before it becomes valuable, and then before it becomes beautiful. First of all, you need a refining pot or furnace, something that's able to withstand very high temperatures. And they're normally made of some ceramic or other, because ceramic can handle an awful lot more heat than metals can. And they're heated to a very, very high temperature, so high, in fact, that every single thing that is in the furnace or in the pot melts. And just like water and oil and various other liquids, different metals and different materials, as they melt, have different weights and rise to different levels. And it tends to be with the likes of metals like iron and silver and copper and things like that, that the impurities would rise to the surface. And what the guys do then, they'll skim them off. Now, they might take a tiny little bit of the actual metal with them, but it is worth losing that little bit to get rid of the impurities. And that might be done a number of times, depending on what it is that you're working on. And in some metals, the heating, the number of times you heat it and cool it, especially when it comes to forging it, can actually increase the heat of it. But with gold and silver, because they are precious in and of themselves, the constant heating and refining and the clearing away of the dross and of the impurities in there leave you with a very, very pure piece of gold or silver. Normally then, whenever it's still metal, they'll take it and pour it into a mould that will produce a gold bar or a silver bar. So the heat is supplied, the impurities are removed, and then the finished metal is poured into a mould, something that's easy to store and easy to keep a hold of. Now, it's worth quite a lot by then, because it could be the pure silver or gold. And it has a value of itself. However, its true value and true beauty is only realised when that is put in the hands of a master craftsman. Someone that is able to work with silver or gold and turn it into something beautiful. Many times in the Bible, the Old Testament, a lot of the stuff in the temple in the wilderness was overlaid with gold. In other words, it was plated with gold. So the gold was beaten out very thinly, and then bound over whatever piece of wood or whatever piece of material, and it basically left that thing so that it could be easily cleaned and kept clean and pure. Other times it's made into jewellery. We have rings of gold and silver. We have, would you believe, computers have a lot of gold in them and copper. It's put to so much use. Some of it is very functional and very efficient. Some of it is very beautiful. And some of these guys, whenever they're working and turning the gold and silver into jewellery, can come up with all sorts of ornamentation and patterns and design. And because they know the material, they can get some amazing work out of it. And that's when its true value is realised. Not just value in the material, but value in what can be done with the material. And I got to thinking about this, and we're going to do the silly bit next. But if you threw a lump of, say, gold pulled out of the soil or out of the ground into the refining pot, there is no amount of fuss on the part of the gold is going to get it out of that pot or take it away from the heat. It needs to let it happen. In fact, it will never be any use for anything unless it has this great heat applied to it and it melts. This is for all of those precious metals. And then it really has nothing to do but go with the flow and allow the workman to clear away the impurities. Like I said, sometimes that means losing a little bit of itself. As the impurities are cleared away, but it's worth it. Then it's poured into a mould. Into the mould that the workman would have it poured into. Not into the shape that it used to be, but a new shape. A shape that denotes purity. And then at some stage down the line, it'll be taken and hammered and maybe melted again and plated over something that will be put into its final shape, and it will have its job or its beauty, whatever it is that the work of the craftsman would have it to do. And those things like the heat, I'm reminded of James chapter 1, where the Lord said to let patience have a perfect work with you, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We're supposed to endure temptation. We're supposed to bring ourselves under control. We're supposed to lose those things that we maybe deem as important, but all that they're doing is dragging us down. We're supposed to set those all off to one side. It is important. And God does that with us. He allows us to go through troubles. There's an old saying that fair weather never made a good sailor. If all that you ever had to do was row a little boat across a pond or a lake, and there was never a wave or never a puff of wind, you could just get in the sailor and all that, in the boat, and all that you would learn how to do is to row that boat. You would never learn about hoisting the sail because there'd be no wind. You'd never learn how to tack sort of at an angle to make your way against the wind. I don't know what the right term for that is. You would never learn how to tie that down in the proper place to get the wind. In other words, you would never learn any of the skills that you're going to need if life was easy. And that's why I think that so many people in this generation are not going to do very well, because moms and dads that did have it tight went easy on their children and never taught them about their chores or anything. They let them off with so much that they're pretty much, they're helpless. So God said, God either applies the heat or allows the heat to be applied. And that breaks us down. Many's a time if people are going to be made into soldiers, there's the old saying that the army breaks you down so that they can build you up again into a man who can serve his country. And that's what God wants for us to do. And it might not just be once in your life that you have difficult times. Every difficult time that you come through and you patiently endure, the Word of God says, and even in the same chapter of James, the Lord through James says to us that blessed is the man that endureth, for when he has tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to all those that love him. There are rewards for us, but there should be changes in us. We should become more like God. We should lose our impurities. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Word of God talks about if a man shall purge himself from sin that's mentioned earlier in that chapter, he shall be a vessel unto, what is it, righteousness, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And that's talking about Christian. So not only is there trouble and woe that come from outside, but there's also us. We have the control over our lives. We can throw our hands up in the air and turn about face and go the other way. We can walk away from anything that would give us a hard time, but we will never grow. There's no soldier ever went to war never having to run 5 miles or 10 miles. There's no soldier that ever went to war having to deal with, I remember a line from a film, eating things that would make a goat sick. There's no soldier ever went to war not knowing how to make his bed, or to look after his weapons, or to cook himself a meal, or to build himself a shelter. All of these things had to be taught, and oftentimes under a great amount of duress, under fire. A lot of the things that happen in our lives, the Lord will only allow those things to happen to us that we can overcome, that we can learn from and grow from whenever we keep our eyes upon. That is the heat. If you want to look at it another way, think on the parable of the man that builds his house upon the rock. Whenever your life is founded upon Jesus, the heat of the day you'll get shelter from it, but the storms will not be able to shake you. Yes, you might have to shut the windows and you might have to shut the door, but the storms will not move you. It is very, very important that we allow these things to happen and actively take part in making them happen. Not stupid things, not hard times, but whenever we recognize that difficult times are coming our way, we should seek the Lord straight away. Lord, I don't know what lesson you're trying to teach me, but I'm here, I'm knocking on your door, and I'm looking to find out what it is that you want me to learn. When we desire to serve God, to please God, there's a lot of things that are not going to matter to us anymore. Those impurities, if you like, those we can lose, we can sweep away. I know a lot of times people don't like that, because we get very ingrained, for all our love of new things and the thrill of that, as they say, the new car smell, or the new book smell. Do you ever open a new book and smell it? You smell fresh print. There's a great deal of inertia or lack of desire to change our lives. We like things the way we like things, so we can depend upon it and move on. And everybody's like that. I remember the number of times in Desmond's trying to get people to adopt new systems that would save them time and effort and money. And because people were so invested and knew the old system inside out and backwards and the new one was going to slow them down, for a little bit they didn't want to do it. But we need to have an understanding that God loves us. God loves lost souls. He loves saved souls. He wants lost souls to be saved. He wants saved souls to grow and to learn so that they can go out and point other lost souls to Christ. But we're precious to God. We're precious. We're so precious, so valuable to Him, that He died for us on the cross of Calvary. And tell you something else that we aren't. We're not the work of a moment. Yes, we are born again in a moment, and we are saved forever, for free, and for sure in a moment, but we don't become the best Christians that we will ever be in a moment. And that is why, as one of the other accounts in the Word of God talks about us, like silver being refined seven times, that many times we need another touch from God. A little bit like the parable of the man that came to God asking for his sight to be healed, and the Lord touched him, and he said, "What do you see?" And he says, "I see men as trees walking. I see shapes, but I can't quite make them out." And the Lord touched him again, and he said, "What about now?" And he says, "Now I see men. Now I see clearly." And sometimes we need more than just one visit to the foot of the cross, whether it's to get rid of an old grudge or an anger or a hurt, or whether it's to go back and just say, "Lord, you explained that to me once, but I'm not quite getting it. Could you do it again?" I have an old pure math teacher that I am sure I broke his heart. Because during the lectures, he would explain these concepts in pure mathematics as stupid things like the square root of negative numbers, which are imaginary numbers. And sometimes getting to grips with that, you required more imagination than someone that read comic books could actually come up with. And I remember having to go and ask him, and he explained it to me, and I said, "I don't see that, Dr. McMasters. Can you show me again?" And then he explained it again. I said, "Still not getting it. Can you show me again? Three or four or five times to show me a concept," and eventually I got it. I'm sure he knew I was going to have trouble with pure mathematics. And I had an old maths teacher before that used to say to me, "My name is Mr. Cairns. I'm a mathematics teacher. If you ever have a problem with mathematics, come and ask me about it." And Jesus Christ is our Savior. God Almighty is our Father. The Holy Spirit is our helper and guide. A woefully underused resource for saved souls right the way across the world. And we should be going to visit them more than just once on a Sunday. We should make his home a place that we visit often. We should make his throne room a place that we turn up at to worship and to praise and to pray. And what did the Bible say? And to be a good supplicant, to beg for help from him. And all of those things that he allows to come our way, they will make us better people. But we need to, what's the word, get with the program, cooperate with God. I know sometimes it's not simple being a Christian. I think I had one car do the long beep at me today. And if you were easily offended, you would just say, well, I've had it now. One person was annoyed with me. I'm away home. But that cheers me. It means some conscience is pricked. We had another car that drove past playing music really, really loud. And it was going boom, boom, boom. It was literally from me to Norman away. And they drove past really slowly with all the windows open. Unfortunately, megaphone produces an awful lot more volume than that, so I just kept preaching. And then we had another fellow drive past, and he stuck his fingers up at me. And I thought, there's a bunch of folks who are convicted by what they hear. At least one person in the car park has me on video. Look at this guy, they're going home, and they're showing, look at this guy with the megaphone, just listen to what he says. And I hope and pray it's something along the lines of God loves you and Jesus died for you and you need to repent of your sins and trust him as your Savior, because that's my job done. We need to lean into it. We need to be willing participants in our growth. Well, but like a child, if they ever stopped eating, maybe one meal you might think an upset stomach, but if it's three or four or five meals, you know they're in trouble. If they're not participating, we need to participate. Because the more that we join with God in everyday life, the better life gets. The more comfort there is, the more power there is. The more peace there is, the peace that the world is paying fortunes and spending who knows how many hours in the week trying to get, the more of that there is for the Christian. See, even as a babe in Christ, as a born-again creature in Christ, we have a lot to learn. Little babies, all they can do is wiggle their arms and their feet and cry for their mama. They want to be held, they want to be fed, they want to be changed. That's it. Mummies and daddies don't want their little children to spend their entire lives with that. They enjoy the months that they get of that. And God doesn't want us to be like that either. He wants us to be able to stand on our own two feet. He wants us to be able to refute the lies of the enemy. He wants us to be able to prove what it is that we believe. And more importantly, to preach it to others, to reason with them. He wants for us to be refined like silver in a refining pot and gold in the furnace. Because we will have more value to him and to the friends and the acquaintances that you work with and speak to every day of your life. They need that. If you saw a piece of gold nugget sitting on the ground with a lump of stone in it and a bit of quartz in it, you might walk past it. You might not think a thing of it. You might even think it's fool's gold. But if you saw a gold bar lying on the ground, what would you do? You'd pick it up. In this day and age, you might take it up to the police station and say, hey, I just found this. Some people might put it in their pocket and keep it for a rainy day, who knows? But it becomes valuable, it becomes important, it becomes precious. And that's what we are to God. We're precious already because we're living souls, but God wants us to be sanctified, justified, better, He wants us to be able to hold our own when the world and the flesh and the devil comes knocking, and they will. So that's why it pays to be up in your Bible, to be much in prayer, to keep company with God, and to be faithful whenever He calls. It is so important. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. I'll close with a hymn. I think it's 199. Or is it? Yep. Did we not sing, "Have We Any Room for Jesus"? We did do that one, didn't we? I have another one here somewhere. Has anybody's hymn not been sung yet this evening? I've missed somebody. Have You Any Room for Jesus?
Did we sing that?
We did sing it, didn't we? Didn't we?
No.
Okay. What was that, 361?
Did you think
the praise Jesus? Now we sang that.
Yeah.
Is it Have You Any Room for Jesus? My apologies. 283. Alright, 283 it is. Let's stand as we sing 283, Have You Any Room for Jesus?
Jesus, we adore your love, Savior.
next we meet, whenever that might happen to be, and say, well, would you pray for us for Smith's meeting, please?
Thank you for the service, Lord, and thank you for being with us tonight, Lord. Bless our endeavours, both in the church, Lord, and outside as we start a new week, Lord. Pray for all those Christ-centred denominations and churches throughout the stand, throughout this world, Lord. Bless them and use it to convict those who are backslidden and also those who are lost, Lord. Say so as mighty and powerfully, Lord, and raise that great and holy name on thy throne above everything else, Lord, as is due, Lord. Pray for the charities we support, Lord, and the charities that we follow, Lord. Remember recent National Open Doors, Christian Schools and Christian Schools as well, as all Christian organizations and Christian-centered firms as well, Lord. And bless them as well, Lord. And use the megaphone, service up in the Christian Link. Use it to provoke people's hearts to thee, Lord, and to prick their hearts, Lord, and draw them closer walk hopefully, Lord, whenever they place their trust in thee and thy Son, Lord, and see us those mighty and powerfully, Lord. If they try to come through the doors on Saturday, Lord, use those mighty both yesterday and the weeks before, Lord. See us those mighty and powerful, Lord, and may people know names be written on that book of life as well. For us, we start a new week, and may it be Christ-centered, Lord, and draw us closer work with thee. For our friends and family, Lord, that are lost or backslidden as well, save them as well, Lord. Yours is the case for Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Thanks, Will. Folks, God bless you. And fellowship.